Thanks for joining us for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located here in Portland, Oregon. In this podcast, Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center, is continuing a series called The Ascent, which is a study of the book of Psalms, chapters 120 through 134. This message is titled Help Wanted, Help Received, and the key Bible reference comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 124. Now here is Ray.
Some of you ask me from time to time, how do I go about preparing my messages? And I think about them all week long. In fact, as soon as the service is over today, I start thinking about next week. My life is defined by the fact that I only have 6 more days till I have to get up here and talk again. And so I'm thinking, reading, researching, praying. And then on Friday, I begin to put all of those efforts to notes. And Friday's kind of ugly for me. It's like, oh my goodness, will anything beautiful or worthy come out of this? And then I get up on Saturday and I kind of polish it and it kind of comes together and I start to feel good about what I have to say. So I was with a dear friend this Friday afternoon and he said, how's it going? And I talked about my message and I said, you know, this particular psalm is just so straightforward. It is what it is. And it's almost like, what do I say about this that isn't clearly said in the psalm itself? I could just get up and read it to the people and then pronounce the benediction and let them go home. And he said, well, why don't you? It would be kind of nice for a change to have that experience. And I said, not on your life. I'm paid by the word, man, so I got to have something to say. So anyway, I do have something to say about this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this. This is a travel song for disciples on the way. Psalm 124, 8 verses. It goes like this. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Read this last line with me. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord for Portland Christian Center this morning. This is the word of the Lord for you this morning. And may the Holy Spirit enlighten the eyes of our understanding. And I pray that he would give us the wisdom, the discernment, and the courage to apply it in the daily world of our real life as we go out of here and try to live this out Monday through Saturday and then come back again next week. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As you're being seated, would you find 3 or 4 people around you? If you don't know them, introduce yourself, welcome them, say hi to them in the name of the Lord. Linda and I have some friends who, a couple of years ago, adopted a baby boy from a rural African village. And he was only months old when they got him. Now he's 2.5. He's a full-on toddler. And just a few days ago, he had a medical procedure that is normally done on baby boys just a few days after they're born, if you know what I mean. Well, he was born in rural Africa where that kind of thing doesn't happen, and so they had him taken in to do this procedure. And as he was coming out of the anesthesia, he was feeling a little bit of disorientation and a whole bunch of discomfort. And his mother heard him saying, somebody's got to help me. Just a toddler, somebody's got to help me. Well, this psalm says, somebody is going to help you. Somebody's going to help you. God is going to help you. It opens by stating twice that God is for you. Isn't that great to know that God is for you? That God is for you. And then it closes, it ends by saying that your help is in his name. Your help is in the name of the Lord. This is a psalm of help, a psalm of help, of supernatural protection and divine intervention. I'm grateful for that, and I know you are as well. A psalm of help. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing because if you haven't figured this out already, discipleship implies that you are going to need some help along the way. In your journey, we are going to need some help. That's because, in part, in great part, as this psalm points out, there are unsympathetic forces that are dead set against us even being in the journey, much less finishing it well. There are unsympathetic forces that are at work against us even right now. What are those forces? Well, this psalm identifies three of them. There are much more, many more than just three, but this psalm identifies three in particular. Verses 2 and 3 says, sometimes those unsympathetic forces are in the form of hostile people. Have you ever experienced hostile people? We don't get that a lot in our day, you know, hostile because of our faith, but that is increasing more and more as the days go by. We're seeing more and more hostility because of our faith. And I'll tell you this, it is going to get worse. Because people will dislike you because you represent God. You represent what God says. You represent what God stands for. And the time will come, if it hasn't already, that people will dislike you. There's a friend of mine that, the name's Don. I led to Christ a few years ago when I was in California. Don's a little younger than me. He's a really good-looking guy. He's got a wonderful family, beautiful family. He's a very successful businessman. And he came to know Jesus, and he became so passionate about his faith that he has become a street preacher. Now, he's still a very successful businessman. You would know it if he was sitting here. He's like a mild-mannered accountant. He's like Clark Kent. But he turns into a super preacher. On Friday nights, he goes down to the town square, wherever that town is, and he will stand up and he will proclaim Christ. Now, he just simply opens the Bible and reads the Word of God. He doesn't have a sign that says turn or burn or John 3:16. He doesn't yell at people. He doesn't say, I've got good news for you, you're going to hell. He just opens the Word of God and he reads. He just reads the Word of God. And he said, you wouldn't believe the hostility that he faces from people. People that will come up to him and yell at him, tell him to shut up, will say, you have ruined my entire day. Really? He's had people abuse him, deride him, make fun of him. And recently, a young man came up and slugged him in the eye just for reading the Word of God. Mark my word, though it's already daily fare for disciples in foreign lands, discrimination will get worse here. And literal persecution is going to follow. Your faith will make you a target of angry people. If it hasn't already, your faith will make you a target. Hostile people. Verses 4 and 5 say those unsympathetic forces can be unexpected circumstances. The psalmist describes it as a sudden flood, an overwhelming deluge. In the Middle Eastern geography, in the arid part of the world that it is, and there are other parts of our country that are like this as well. When Linda and I lived in Colorado, there would be a lot of dry creek beds as there is in the Middle East. And when there is a thunderstorm, a downpour, it could be miles and miles away, but the water will flow into those dry creek beds, and they will converge, and then suddenly a flash flood will occur. And if you're in the way of that, there's without warning, they will overwhelm you. Very, very common in the Middle East, and as it is in some parts of our own nation. And that's what he's talking about here. One minute, you're safe and you're satisfied, and the next, your life has been disarranged by disaster, an unforeseen downturn. How many people in this congregation have experienced unforeseen downturn in the last 2 or 3 years? People that went into work one day and left without a job. People that had the bank call and say, we're calling in our markers. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your car. You're upside down. Unforeseen downturn. And an unpredictable diagnosis. It's another thing that happens. I've seen people in this congregation that went to the doctor one day and they said, I'm sorry to tell you this, sir. I'm sorry to tell you this, madam, but you have cancer. An unpredicted diagnosis. An unbearable loss. People that have suddenly lost something of great value to them. People that have suddenly, through accident, through death, lost a loved one. There's a sudden flood of bad stuff that engulfs your world and threatens to sweep you from the safe moorings of your faith. And then, verses 7 and 8 say that those unsympathetic forces can be overwhelming odds. You're up against something for which you have no answer, no resources. He describes it in terms of an animal that has been trapped by a hunter. There is no escape. When under attack by angry people, unexpected circumstances, or satanic forces, or all three, we suddenly understand that we are totally vulnerable and impotent to do anything about it. It is inescapable, unavoidable. We are trapped. Then, inexplicably, there's a way out. We're not swept away. We're not engulfed. We're not doomed. Verse 7 says that the snare breaks and we're free. We're delightfully surprised by supernatural deliverance. Now, as in all of these Psalms of Ascent, there is a discipleship principle here in Psalm 124. And it's an encouraging one. In light of what I've just described, this is an encouraging one. That no matter what it looks like, hostile people, unpredicted circumstances, overwhelming odds, no matter what it seems like in your life, here it is. God is for us. God is helping us. We will be okay. God is for me. God will help me. I am going to be okay. Now, we need to know that. We need to be reminded of that along the way, especially when those unsympathetic forces are saying otherwise. And so the psalmist comes along and he offers us this, really, it's a two-part musical reminder that harmonizes this principle of divine help to our current situation. So let me just break this down for you. The first part of the psalm is what I would call a what-if scenario. A what-if scenario, a sobering visual of what might have happened if God didn't show up to help you out. You ever think about that from time to time? You know, if God hadn't have come through, if God didn't show up, if God hadn't helped me, I don't know what I would have done. We see that in verses 1 through 5. It's highlighted particularly in verses 1 and 2, by the twice repeated phrase, if the Lord had not been on our side. And I love how the psalmist 7 says it. He says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. It's like he's saying, come on now. Come on, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been doomed. By the way, that is a very healthy thing for disciples to do. You ought to do this, me too, regularly, to just look back and remind yourself what could have happened if God hadn't stepped in and pulled your bacon out of the fire. And I'll tell you why that's a good thing. Because your bacon is going to get into the fire again down the road, maybe not too far from now. That's just the way it is for disciples on the journey. So focusing on God's past faithfulness, his past faithfulness of preventative grace, always, always prepares you for the next crisis of faith. And the truth is, the reality is, there will be more crises of faith in your life. We just come to these series of crossroads where we experience crisis of faith. So the next time, if you practice going back and thinking, spinning this what-if scenario, what if God hadn't showed up? That will prepare you. You will be ready to face those angry people, those unexpected circumstances, and those overwhelming odds. You will be prepared. I'll never forget all three of those unsympathetic forces coming together in my life in 2001 during my first year after leaving PCC to be the lead pastor of VCC. I left Portland Christian Center along with Linda. She went with me. And we went to California. And I became the senior pastor of Valley Christian Center. At the end of my inaugural year, my rookie year as a lead pastor, our church was facing an insurmountable, if not unsurvivable, $750,000 operating loss. At the end of the fiscal year, we looked at the books and we were $750,000 in the red. Not a good thing for me. I thought, oh my goodness, this is my rookie season. And I'm going to take this church down in flames, brother. This is not going to look too good on my resume if they boot me out and I have to go somewhere else. due to no fault of my own, or so I like to think. Unexpected circumstances had engulfed us. And then came the angry people. On the one hand, people were bringing lawsuits against the church. And on the other hand, people were bailing on me because they didn't like how I was leading or where I had led them. I had suddenly become, instead of God's answer for that church, I had become anything but God's answer, and people were leaving. And we faced a very, very difficult time. There was no way I could overcome those impossible odds. But suddenly, I was delightfully surprised by supernatural deliverance. And that experience of divine help gives me courage to face any future crisis of faith that may come my way. I say, bring it on. I've been there. I know what that's like. I know what it is to despair and have God suddenly break through with deliverance. I just think back, what if the Lord had not been on my side? I think about that from time to time. What if the Lord had not been on my side? I would have been a goner. But I'm not. I'm not. I'm here. I'm still standing. I'm not a goner. And guess what? Neither are you. You have faced crisis of your own. It was overwhelming, it seemed. And if God had not been on your side, you would have been a goner. But you're not. You're here. You're still standing because God is our help. God is our help. Now, here's the rest of the musical reminder for this divine help principle. Part two is, the first part is a what-if scenario. The second part, part two, is an in-fact reality check. An in-fact reality check. A worshipful recount of God's actual help. Not a what-if, but here's what God actually did. Notice verses 6 and 8. Praise the Lord, he's not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist is offering a powerful, vocal, public testimony of God's deliverance. No matter how hostile people are, no matter how devastating disaster is, no matter how overwhelming the odds are that you're facing, God isn't intimidated. God isn't overwhelmed. God isn't devastated. Why would he be? He's the maker of everything that exists. There is nothing in all creation that rattles God. Nothing rattles God. I love what the prophet said in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. We ought to add this to our memory verses. This is a great one. He says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." God, you made all of this. You put the world together out of nothing. Out of dust, you formed it. Everything. Nothing catches you by surprise. Nothing is too difficult for you. God wouldn't worry. Why would God worry? He is not rattled. He's not overwhelmed. He's not discouraged. He's got it in his control. And declaring what God has done is a good thing because it builds faith for the journey ahead. It creates courage. It instills confidence. It strengthens resolve. How so? Because it reminds us that since God is true to his character and he's faithful to his covenant, we can fully expect his help again and again and again. God is a covenantly faithful God. He cannot violate his character. What God has done in the past, he will do in the present. What God has done in the past, because he's a covenantly faithful God, he will do again and again and again. He will do that. He will be that for you tomorrow, no matter what you are facing. I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says. Paul says, "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." Hallelujah. That is our hope, friends. That is Christian hope. And Romans 5:5 says, our hope will not be disappointed. When you put your hope in God, that hope will not disappoint. To this day, I cannot explain to you how it happened. But a year after our financial crisis, Valley Christian Center ended the year at break even. To this day, I don't know how that happened. We were $750,000 down. A year later, we were back at zero. A year after that, at fiscal year end, we had $500,000 in the bank, in the black. During that time, we planted 131 churches in Africa. We stepped out to plant churches around the world. Not only that, through that time, as Lynn and I left to come up here, we had left nearly $3 million in the bank for a building project. And I looked like a financial genius. I'm telling you what. I really did. I was looking pretty good. But it wasn't me. God did it. I can't tell you how it happened. All I know is that God did it. That's my testimony. That's my hope. That's my full expectation for the future. God is my help and yours too. I fully expect that hope in the real practical world of our church life and of my personal life, and I expect that for you. God is our help. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you a couple heads up about this psalm. As you read through it, you'll see that the psalmist describes a lot, focuses a lot on the hazards that we're going to face in the disciples' journey. There's a lot of hazards that he talks about. But I want you to know this. This psalm isn't about worldly hazards. It's a psalm about divine help. So let me encourage you, do not get your eyes on the hazards. Keep your eyes on the helper. It is a tendency for us to look at the hazards, look at the obstacles, look at the problems, look at the challenges, look at the disasters, look at the impossible mountains. Don't do that. They're there. They're real. I'm not saying to ignore them. But don't get your eyes on the hazards. Look to the helper. God is faithful. God is faithful. Nothing is impossible for him. He's the creator over all creation. He's the creator over all creation, including your hazards, including angry people that may come at you. God made them too. God is over your sudden circumstances, unexpected circumstances. They didn't catch him by surprise. He wasn't taken aback. He didn't go, oh boy, I missed that one. He's Lord over all creation. He understands what seems like impossible odds. He's Lord over the odds. He's Lord over the devil who is trying to destroy you. Did you know that? God created the devil. He created the devil. Don't give the devil more credit than he's due. God is over him. God is Lord, maker, creator over all. So don't be intimidated. Don't be overwhelmed by those circumstances, by those things, by those people, by those odds. Rather, and I know this is easy for me to say from the safety of standing behind this pulpit, invest them, embrace them as your friends. Whatever those unsympathetic forces are, I want to encourage you to embrace them as your friends. You see, your trust in God's help develops best in the journey's most difficult parts, not its easiest. We all love the easy parts. We love the flat, smooth, straight road. That's not when faith gets developed. That's not when trust gets expanded. That's not when our lives get deepened. It's in the challenging parts. So embrace those challenging parts as your friend, because remember, God is still Lord and creator and maker over all. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, all that I have seen, that being the what ifs and the in facts. All that I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all that I have not seen. You can trust your Maker. He is your divine helper. You can trust Him. One more heads up. Sometimes on the journey, things happen that can assault, that do assault our sense of God's trustworthiness. Things assault God's trustworthiness. His help doesn't arrive on time. He didn't come through when we wanted or the way we wanted. He didn't show up, or so it looks. Our home gets foreclosed upon. The bank calls and says, we're taking it back. The boss says, you no longer have your job. Our spouse walks out on us, abandons the family. Our children rebel against God. Our health tanks. Things happen. Disease and sickness comes. Our dream implodes. Our loved ones die. And suddenly, as committed disciples, we're put in the position of having to defend God, either to our own faith or to people who are watching us that say, where is your God now? How come God didn't show up? How could a loving, good God allow you to go through that? And we are put into the position of having to defend God. I want to encourage you. Don't worry about defending God's character or God's competence. He can do that himself. He does a great job of defending himself. Your job is not to defend God. Your job is to trust God. The call of a disciple is to be a witness, not an apologist. Some people are called to the ministry of apologetics, but by and large, that's not our role. Our role as faithful disciples is simply to trust God and to be a witness to his ever-present help in times of trouble. And when is our trust in God? When is our trust in God's help more compellingly declared than when his help is desperately needed and trust is hard to give him? When is it stronger? When is our witness stronger than when it's very difficult to trust him? When it looks like his help is not there? That is when faith and trust are best declared. When you're facing the reality of mean people and raging currents and snarling beasts, you have an option. You can either shrink back from faith or you can step out in faith. You can surrender to your feelings or you could submit to the perfect will of God for your life. You have a choice. I think back to the three Hebrew young men that were in the first part of Daniel that were facing a fiery furnace. You remember that story? And King Nebuchadnezzar was so mad at them, his eyes were bulging, his veins were popping out, and he was so out of control mad that he had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than normal. Like, what good is that going to do? But he has it heated up hotter than ever. And even the people tending to the fire, the furnace, died because of the heat. And he said to those three Hebrew young men, if you do not bow down and worship the image that I have set up, you will be consumed. I will cast you into the fiery furnace. And they said this, just young men at the time, teenagers probably, said to the king, King, let it be known that we will never bow down and worship that image. We will worship only the Lord our God. We have faith in our God, and he will deliver us. That is incredible faith. They didn't shrink back. They stepped forward in faith. And then comes one of the most remarkable moments, I think, in Scripture. They said, but if not, if our God doesn't come through, if our God doesn't deliver us, if we die in the fire, we will still not bow down and worship the image that you have set up. If the first is an expression of amazing faith, the second is a rare display of submission to the perfect will of God. And whenever we face those kind of obstacles and challenge and people and forces in our life, we can shrink back or we can step up. And we can submit no matter what comes our way. We can submit to the perfect will of God and trust our Maker, the Maker of everything that we see for what we have not yet seen. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. I vote for trusting him. I vote for placing my trust in my Maker and asking for his help. That's our privilege. That's our privilege, you know. In fact, our scripture memory for this week, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, says exactly that. It reminds us of our divine right as disciples to lean into God's job description as the divine helper. Listen to what it says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. I want you to read this last part aloud with me. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Approach boldly, confidently, the throne of grace to find mercy, to help us in our time of need. We are just a prayer away. We're just a prayer away. You're just a prayer away from all the help you need. Hallelujah. I want to invite our musicians to come to the platform in a moment. I want to invite our prayer team. We didn't do this earlier in the service, but I'm going to invite our prayer team to come. And as we conclude, I'm going to invite you to come because I have a feeling some of you need some help. You need the divine helper in your life. I'm telling you, you're just a prayer away from his help. You have angry people, hostile forces. You have unexpected circumstances that have just cut the legs of faith out from under you. You're facing overwhelming odds. Forces are set against you. And you're wondering, what in the world am I going to do? I want you to know you're just a prayer away from all the help that you need. There's a man by the name of Rod Cooper. I've met Rod. He's a speaker for the Promise Keepers years ago. And Rod tells a story of growing up on a farm. And his family raised pigs. They had 1,000 pigs at any one time that they raised. And in one of the fields, they kept all the piglets, about 300 of them. Well, Rod's job was every morning to get up at 4 a.m. and to go out and to feed the pigs. And he said whenever he went out there and he would get into the fenced area, they would always scatter. They would just kind of get away from him. Except one day, one little porker, came right up to him, boldly approached him, and started nibbling on his toe. He looked down and he thought, that's a cute little pig. He picked it up and he began to pet it. And as soon as he picked it up and pet it, this pig let out an ear-splitting squeal. And in about 2 seconds, about 30 mama pigs weighing about 500 pounds each were bearing down upon him. And he hopped back over the fence. He said these mama pigs went back and forth snorting and, you know, stomping and just daring him to come back over the fence and to mess with one of their little pigs. Rod said he realized in that moment that little pig was so bold and so confident because, not intimidated, not overwhelmed, because he knew that he was just one squeal away from all the help that he needed. And so are you. You are just one squeal away. You are one prayer away from all the help that you need. God is our helper. I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come down to the front. Deacons, our pastors, spouses, prayer team members, come on down, guys. And as we sing this song, some of you need the Lord's help. Would you take the step of faith? Don't shrink back. Take the step of faith and just come, and we'll agree with you for God's help in your life right now. You come on as we sing. Come on down. Let's pray for you.
You're my Savior, Restorer, Builder, Rewarder, my refuge, Redeemer.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast with Ray Noah, continuing his series called The Ascent. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.